When somebody appears to have died of unnatural causes, a forensic pathologist would normally perform an autopsy. But there's a problem. There aren't that many people doing that work. In fact, about a decade ago, the National Research Council said there were fewer than 500 of them in the U.S. By comparison, there are more than 12,000 dermatologists. Since then, the opioid epidemic has made for drastically more work, and medical examiners are having a hard time keeping up. Some offices wind up falling so far behind they have to ship bodies to other offices, and then those offices become overloaded. As a result, some medical examiners have to pick and choose which bodies to autopsy. That could have serious consequences to public health and safety. Jordan Kisner is a freelance writer whose work has appeared in The Atlantic, The Guardian, and other publications. Her recent piece in the New York Times Magazine is titled Piled Bodies, Overflowing Morgues, Inside America's Autopsy Crisis. It's adapted from her new book called Thin Places, Essays from In Between, which comes out next week. Jordan, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, glad to be with you.
You write that our death investigation system in the United States is under threat of collapsing. How bad is it?
You know, if you take seriously the claims of the many forensic pathologists and coroners and medical examiners that I spoke to for this essay, it's pretty dire. I was speaking recently with Dr. Tom Gilson, who's the Cuyahoga County medical examiner, chief medical examiner, and he was making the point that there are so few people to do such a large amount of work. And what's more, this population of forensic pathologists are starting to age out. There are many more who are getting to the retirement age than there are young forensic pathologists coming into the field. So it's looking to get worse yet before it gets better.
You write that a lot of the forensic pathologists themselves feel that they're kind of an overlooked specialty, that people think doctors should be, what they do is heal the living. So we kind of overlook the ones who work with dead people. But talk about the value of the work they do as kind of an early warning system for big health problems in the United States.
They're a really crucial part of national and local public health. When somebody dies in a way that is unnatural, so that could be homicide, that could be an accidental poisoning, that could be in a motor vehicle accident, it could be a drowning. Anytime a death like that occurs, that person is or should be sent for examination and possibly autopsy to their local coroner or medical examiner. And what those people then have the ability to do is to start identifying patterns. It was forensic pathologists and the forensic toxicologists they work with that first noticed that there was an uptick in heroin overdoses and then a rise of new opioids entering the United States. So they are often the first line of defense to spot patterns, rising tides of trends of things that are dangerous to us, that are killing us.
Now, digging more into how this all works, we might hear medical examiner and we might hear coroner. And they might be synonyms in our mind. They are not. Can you talk about the difference between those jobs and what they do?
Yeah, this is really interesting. So it's a little bit of a square and a rectangle situation. So there is a person who is a forensic toxicologist. This is somebody who's gone through medical school, done a pathology. I'm sorry, I'm talking about forensic pathologists. Mm-hmm. I said toxicologist. A forensic pathologist is the person who is empowered to perform an autopsy on behalf of the state. And they have gone to medical school. They've done their extra pathology residency, and then they've done further training in forensics. These people can go on to be medical examiners, and medical examiners have to be forensic pathologists, or it's possible that they could go on to be coroners. Coroners have more loose regulations in their qualifications. So in many places, a coroner could just be somebody who's lived there for more than a year, is of legal age, and has no, crime convictions locally. So you could be not even a doctor and be a coroner. Exactly. You or I could be a coroner in some places. But to be a medical examiner, you must be a forensic pathologist, which is to say a medical doctor with extra specialty training. So when we talk about coroners versus medical examiners, these are both positions that are the job in their local jurisdiction, in their county or their state, whose job it is to determine cause of death for the official public record and to sign the death certificate. The question is, which of these people are forensic pathologists. And if a coroner is not a forensic pathologist, they have to outsource any autopsy labor to the nearest forensic pathologist.
So we don't have enough forensic pathologists, as you report. Why? What are the reasons that we don't have a new generation of people picking this as their medical specialty?
You know, there are a number of reasons that I was given. The first is that because forensic pathologists who go to work in either coroner's office or with medical examiners, they are public employees. They are government employees. They work for the county or the state where they live. And because they're government employees, their salaries come out of local budget, which means that they are often much less well paid than other medical specialties. They'll make much less money going into forensic pathology than they would if they, for example, went into orthopedic surgery. And that is just because of how their salary is paid and what budget it comes out of. So that's one big problem. The second is that because there are too few forensic pathologists, it is often a career path that involves a lot of overwork, a heavy workload, long days. It's a stressful position, as any job is when there are not enough of you and not enough money to go around. And the third that I spoke to pathologists about is a little bit of an unspoken bias in certain institutions against work that deals with the dead. So for example, in medical school, a lot of the time around the second, third, and fourth year, medical students are being introduced to different field specialties they could go into. They can maybe do a rotation on a surgical ward. They can do a rotation in pediatrics. And it's very rare, actually, that medical schools offer information about, much less a rotation in, forensic pathology. So even at the point when young doctors-to-be are considering their career paths, they're often not presented with forensic pathology even as an option.
Talking to Jordan Kisner about her piece, Piled Bodies, Overflowing Morgues Inside America's Autopsy Crisis. It's in the New York Times Magazine, adopted from her book out next week called Thin Places. Jordan, you spent time, especially in the Cuyahoga County, that's where I think Cleveland, Ohio is watching along as the medical examiners work there. Can you give us a sense of what it's like to be there and do that job?
You know, something that I was expecting and that I think many people expect when they think of what it might be like to be with medical examiners who are doing autopsies and doing work in morgues is that you sort of expect that it might feel really grim, that it might happen underground in some sort of dark, dank room. And that everybody there might seem sort of like, you know, broody. And I was really pleasantly surprised to see that in that county, the building is full of light. It's very airy. The people who work there are energized and passionate, and they speak very thoughtfully and beautifully and compassionately about the work that they do. And the work that they do is hard to watch. An autopsy, no matter how bright and sunshiny the room is, can be hard for an outside viewer to watch. And so I did find it very arresting to observe them as they worked. But I really came away thinking of it as an honor to watch them, because they are extremely dedicated public servants and extremely skilled medical doctors who spend their entire lives devoted to this service when they could be making a lot more money and probably have a little bit, you know, a little bit of an easier work life doing something else.
Now, we are, of course, watching for a potential outbreak of this novel coronavirus here in the United States. What kind of role might medical examiners play in watching for new fatalities from an emerging disease like that?
You know, interestingly, historically, medical examiners have played a role in identifying new viruses or new strains of a known virus. What I'm a little bit unsure of right now, and I haven't reported this out, is whether a coronavirus death, a coronavirus mortality, would be deemed in all cases an unnatural death. So often, if a person has received an illness diagnosis before they've died, and then they die, an autopsy isn't necessary because it is already medically understood why they died. In the case of many deaths from coronavirus, that may be how it goes. So I'm not sure under what circumstances. I'm not sure if there are going to be a new sort of wave of autopsies that need to be undertaken because of coronavirus. But I think that it's likely that that will be a jurisdiction by jurisdiction call. And in general, I think that this epidemic gives us a really sobering look at the way, at the importance of having medical systems and public health systems be well-staffed, well-trained, well-funded, in good working condition, ready with, you know, a little extra room and energy to take on big systemic challenges like this. Because when they are already stressed and not quite prepared, a lot of lives are at stake.
With this shortage of medical examiners in your reporting, did you see efforts out there to try to get more of them?
Yeah. So a lot of the people that I spoke to, and I spoke to coroners and medical examiners in several different states, and they all talked about the importance of bringing in the community to see what they do. So there's a lot of outreach efforts that often happen locally to involve, you know, to do tours for and sometimes demonstration autopsies for local medical school students, local college students, sometimes even local high school students. It is important for them to be bringing in the public as much as they are able, given their, you know, time and resources, just to spread awareness of what this job is. A lot of Americans, and before I really was working on this story, I was one of them, doesn't really know what the system is, barely thinks about whether or not it exists. It's by definition a system that you are usually not in a position to report back when you see it up close. And so just creating education and awareness of this field, of its importance, is, I think, a big focus right now.
As we wrap up, Jordan, do you think, as you talk to these people, overwhelmed in many cases by overwork, do most of them seem to be sticking with it as long as they can?
You know, I think it depends. One thing that you've seen in the last several years is there's a wave of either resignations in protest or slightly early retirement, because it is a number of chief medical examiners have retired. So, for example, in the chief medical examiner of New Jersey, of Los Angeles County, of Cook County, Illinois, which serves Chicago, have resigned in protest because their caseloads are too high and they cite insufficient funding and resources. The Baltimore chief medical examiner recently retired early, citing the same problems. So you do see people being pushed out perhaps before the end of their natural career, just out of sheer exhaustion.
Jordan, thanks a lot for sharing the story with us today.
Thank you.
That's Jordan Kistner, freelance writer whose works appeared in The Atlantic, The Guardian, and elsewhere. Her piece in the New York Times Magazine that we've been talking about on America's shortage of medical examiners is titled Piled Bodies, Overflowing Morgues Inside America's Autopsy Crisis. That's adapted from her new book. It's called Thin Places, Essays from In Between. That is out next week.